The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Jonathan Healy in for Pat Kenny this morning. Set in present-day Georgia, a woman is brutally attacked and left for dead. Only by chance, Will Trent visits the state penitentiary and to a prisoner who says the attack looks identical to the one he was convicted of 8 years prior. Trent comes to the realisation he must solve the first case in order to solve this one. It's kind of my book for my holidays. It really does scream that which I would be attracted to when I'm trying to relax on a beach. Not that there'll be that much beach activity this year. It's from The Silent Wife, written by Karen Slaughter, who is on the line now. Karen, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sure when they told you that your book was going to be released in the middle of a pandemic, you went, I'm not sure whether that's a good idea or not. How has it been since The Silent Wife didn't quite land in all the bookshops you wanted to, but at least became available?
Well, you know, I've also been experiencing the pandemic. Some might argue worse than others, considering where I am. But I've really enjoyed books that offer some kind of escapism during this time. So, you know, while it's bad that all these stores aren't open and our usual outlets for getting books, I was really eager to have it come out just because I know my readers were looking for something to get them through this horrible time we're all experiencing.
You describe it as escapism, which, it's a funny kind of escapism, diving into a world of murder and general unpleasantness. But I am amongst that cohort that enjoys getting away from regular life and walking alongside characters like Will Trent. There is a huge appetite for this type of novel out there. Karen?
Yes, I'm here. Oh, sorry, cut out. Still there.
I beg your pardon, the perils of technology. I said there's a huge appetite for this type of novel, isn't there?
Well, yeah. And, you know, the reason I love it is because it's this great opportunity for bad people to be punished and the world to be right. You know, you don't have a lot of crime novels where you don't find out who did it in the end and where no one is punished for the bad thing. So that's what I really enjoy. And I've been reading some of my favorite authors, like, you know, Emma Donoghue writes amazing crime novels, and John Connolly. And we're really spoiled for choice right now.
This is a story that is set in Georgia. Tell us a little bit about the character of Will Trent. Who is he?
You know, I've been writing about him for 10 years, though I do write every book so that you can just pick it up if you've never heard of Will Trent. But he's a kind of complicated guy. He's very different from what you find in the usual cop story where the cop is, you know, throwing his weight around and very certain of himself. He's very deliberative. He's more of a guy of my generation. He grew up raised by women, so he respects women. He understands their plight. But he also is someone who uses his mind to solve crime rather than using his hands.
And he investigates all sorts of crimes. The subject of violence against women, that's very much a driving factor in a lot of your writing. You actually spend time working in a rape crisis centre. Did that give you an insight into the reality of this? I know you write fiction, but there is a sad reality that needs to be reflected for those who've never had to undergo that type of crime to understand, at least.
Well, I do feel it's very important to talk about it honestly and unflinchingly, you know, but if it's something that someone's not interested in, but I think my name gives away what the content of my books are. So there are a lot of other things you can read. But when I volunteered for this hotline, I was in college and I was just really struck because every single woman who called said, I should not have. I should not have been there. I should not have trusted him. I shouldn't have worn that. No one said he should not have raped me. And it's a really peculiar thing being a woman. And we're raised to think that our feelings are not as important as the feelings of men. And that if something bad does happen, it's completely our responsibility. And I wanted to explore that through my writing and send a different message that, no, this is wrong. There's nothing sexy or titillating about sexual assault. And I wanted to put that in the context of a thriller so that it had a whole world around it where you understood what was going on.
Do you think that we should have moved on a little bit, though? Because I'm not going to guess your age, but we would have thought that we would have moved on even in the last decade or two decades, that because of even more recently the Me Too movement, that this might have changed. But yet we constantly get survey after survey from universities here in Europe and there in America that say that this is still a huge problem, and that young women are subjected to assaults, some more serious than others, on a regular basis.
Well, in answer to your first observation, I am too damn old. That is just the fact. I never realized this would happen to me. I was very startled. As for the second, you know, it is something. There's just a certain type of man in every population who really, really hates women. And they feel like they can break the social contract, and they get away with it because we're not watching for that man, or we're making excuses for him. And this is both men and women, because we need men to help identify those men as well, because they see them and they hear them in the locker room, as it were, and they see what they're doing and that they're making women uncomfortable. And men are, for the most part, are pack animals. And if enough men say, stop this, or we're not going to allow this, then I think that would make real change. And part of it is women having conversations with men. I'll never forget, at the height of Me Too, my dad said to me, well, that would never happen to you. And I said, oh my God, Dad, the first time I was flashed by a man was when I was 12 years old on a school trip. You know, this is something that women just deal with constantly. And most men have no idea the crazy, horrible stuff that some men are doing. And he was just really shocked, but we had a good conversation about it. And I think his opinion that because I'm a strong woman and I'm successful, so this would never happen to me, was just turned on its ear because of that conversation.
And do you factor that in? Is that part of your thought process when you're creating your male characters, particularly the male cops, those that have to deal with this type of crime and take on the bad guys, as they are euphemistically known, that they too are flawed and they would carry some of those perceptions with them, even on a subconscious level?
Absolutely. And in The Silent Wife, I write about that. It's not just male cops, it's female cops. I've had female cops say to me, who are now retired and did the job for 20 years, I never investigated a rape case where the woman had actually been raped. And it's just mind-boggling, because that is statistically impossible. It's like you've done hundreds of cases and not one of them. And when you have that mindset, you know, rape is the only crime where the police say to you, do you really want to prosecute this? You know, no one says, okay, your husband was murdered. Are you sure you want us to investigate this? It's going to be really hard on you. Or your house was broken into. Do you want us to find the guy? You know, it's really a strange kind of twist that especially older law enforcement has in their heads, that this is not a crime, that's a legitimate crime, that the women did something to bring it on. And we're seeing this played out not just in America, but as you said, all over Europe. And especially given the pandemic, a lot of women are taking the brunt of violence that is being wrought at homes by the financial insecurity, the devastation, the isolation, all of these things.
You're based in Georgia, in the United States, Karen. We are watching on from this side of the pond. We're talking again today. We've reopened our country, thankfully. So far, so good. Few teething problems along the way, as you might imagine. But we kind of look on in horror, really, at what's happening in your country. How safe, and you referenced it at the start of the interview, how safe do you feel right now in the United States, given the spread of COVID-19 and the fact that it's still going?
Well, I feel like most of the world, what happened to America? I mean, how did this guy ruin our country in 3.5 years? But, you know, I have hope that things will change in November. But as you know, let me preface this by saying that I am a person who can work at home, and I have all the resources I need. And honestly, my general lifestyle is quarantine anyway. I'm quite happy to just be locked in a house somewhere and never talk to anybody. So
that's very common amongst authors. I don't think you're
it's
that.
Really no hardship. I'm like, welcome to my life. Isn't it wonderful? But I think that it's bringing out a lot of cracks in the system that we need to deal with. And I hope that when we look back at this time, that we actually say Donald Trump was the best thing that happened to this country, because he was a Band-Aid that was ripped off, and he embodied all of the thinking of the past that we want to get past. You know, if you look at a lot of these guys and some women who are in control of our government right now, a lot of them are older guys from the South who grew up during Jim Crow, which was legalized segregation. And that life was great for them. And they're still holding on to vestiges of that past and trying to keep codifying repression. And the younger generation is saying, wait, hold on. That's not how we were raised. We've never experienced this. We don't want this to be our country. So it's a really big moment of turmoil. And in a lot of ways, as horrific as it is and as devastating as it is that we're losing lives and continue to keep making these horrible mistakes with a pandemic, I think that we also will look back and say, you know, a lot of positive came out of this, like the Me Too movement. As much as I would have loved to have had Hillary Clinton as our president, I don't think we would have had Me Too without Donald Trump.
Wow, what a trade-off. The book Silent Wife is out now. People can get their hands on it in physical bookshops, which thankfully are reopened, or indeed online. But Karen, you've got a TV series coming on Netflix, Pieces of Her. When are we expected to see that, and how much input and control did you have over TV? I always find it fascinating to talk to writers whose novels have been turned into television to find out, are they happy with the outcome?
Well, you know, we were 3 days from principal photography when the pandemic hit. So everybody was ready to go. And then, boom, it was shut down. But I'm very excited. I mean, they're still waiting to figure out how they're going to do this. And Toni Collette has signed on. We've got great producers and writers. I've read the scripts. I'm very pleased. I just watched, actually, Sally Rooney's Normal People. And I know was very hands-on with that. But I choose not to be. I don't like that kind of collaborative writing, but I'm very pleased with what they've come up with. And I'm a producer, so I have what's called input, but I can be easily overruled by the other producers. So it's more like mild suggestions, but they have been listening to me. And Netflix has been fantastic. I mean, they haven't asked the stupid questions you hear that networks ask. They've been really helpful and supportive. So that, I mean, it's been a really nice experience.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it when you do eventually get to make it. There'll be a little gap where we won't have any telly. So please write another book so we can fill that gap in the meantime. But for now, Karen Slaughter on the line from Atlanta. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.